From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi affirms burning Holy Quran is not freedom of expression. Saudi Arabia becomes the 51st country that accesses the Treaty of Amity and Cooperation. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesia strongly condemns the burning of the Holy Quran, which took place in several countries, including in Sweden. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi affirmed that the action was a provocative act which greatly insulted Muslims around the world. In the video recorded for the United Nations Human Rights Council session on Wednesday, Minister Retno affirmed that this action was not a form of freedom of expression. She further said that the burning of the Holy Quran was an act of Islamophobia and hatred against Islam as a religion of peace.
Mr. President, Indonesia strongly condemns the burning of Quran in some countries, including in Sweden. This provocation deeply insults Muslims around the world. You cannot hide behind freedom of expression. Everybody in the right mind knows this has nothing to do with it. These are expression of Islamophobia, an incitement of hatred against Islam, the religion of peace. So, stop abusing freedom of expression.
Moreover, Article 20 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights states that countries are obliged to prohibit advocacy of religious hatred through law. Therefore, Minister Retno pointed out that Indonesia urges the United Nations Human Rights Council and other mandate holders to provide a strong response to the arson of this Holy Quran. The UN Human Rights Council held an emergency session on Tuesday regarding the burning of the Quran in Sweden. This session was held at the suggestion of Pakistan, representing the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, that asked countries to condemn attacks targeting Al-Quran. After representatives of a number of countries delivered speeches, the UN Human Rights Council session resumed on Wednesday for a vote on the resolution condemning the burning of Quran. From 47 votes received, 28 countries declared their support for the resolution, 7 abstentions, and 12 countries refused. Saudi Arabia is the 51st country which accessed the Treaty of Amity and Cooperation, or TAC. The accession signing ceremony was carried out in the series of the 56th ASEAN Foreign Ministers Meeting, or AMM, in Jakarta on Wednesday. On behalf of ASEAN, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi expressed her appreciation for Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia is the 51st country to sign the TAC. And this reflects Saudi's strong commitment to abide by ASEAN values and principles as enshrined in the TAC. A commitment to cooperate and collaborate, a commitment to consistently uphold international law, a commitment to contribute to peace, stability, in the Southeast Asia and beyond. These values and principles are even more critical amidst current geopolitical dynamics. We welcome Saudi Arabia to ASEAN family, and together we must serve as a positive force for peace, stability, and prosperity in the Indo-Pacific region.
Moreover, the signing of the TAC was carried out by the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Saudi Arabia, Faisal bin Farhan Al Saud, and it was witnessed by the ASEAN foreign ministers and the ASEAN Secretary General. Before Saudi Arabia, the last country that accessed the TAC was Ukraine in 2022. Meanwhile, the first country outside ASEAN which accessed the TAC was Papua New Guinea in 1989. Still about the 56th ASEAN Foreign Ministers Meeting, or AMM, in Jakarta, completed an important agenda on the second day of the meeting on Wednesday. There are at least 7 agreed points. The discussion in the 56th AMM retreat session was done openly. Although there were 2 agendas, most of the discussions were carried out in the framework of implementing the 5 points of consensus related to the Myanmar crisis, or 5PC. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi told the media that the 5PC was an approach agreed upon by ASEAN to help Myanmar get out of the political crisis that has been going on for more than the last 2 years.
Kita selesai melakukan retreat.
We finished holding a retreat session among the ASEAN foreign ministers, and the first 2 main issues are reviewing the implementation of the 5 points of consensus. The second is building an inclusive regional architecture. Moreover, in more detail, Minister Retno Marsudi explained that there are 6 main points that are the result of discussions at the 56th AMM retreat session, including all ASEAN member countries provide support and appreciation for the following. Things that have been done by Indonesia as chair of ASEAN related to this issue. All countries emphasize the importance of unity among member countries. The 5PC approach keeps becoming the main reference for resolving the crisis in Myanmar, while other initiatives must support and be in line with the 5PC. The current ASEAN priority is the implementation of the 5PC. Minister Retno Marsudi has also conveyed that the retreat session also results in a common perception regarding engagement or an intensive and extensive approach. Indonesia has made efforts related to the Myanmar crisis and is now pushing for dialogue in order to create a long-lasting peaceful situation.
Semua mendukung, pentingnya mulai dipikirkan.
All countries support the importance of starting to think about dialogue as the next building block, because we believe that only with inclusive dialogue there will be a political settlement obtained, and a political settlement will create a durable and peaceful situation. Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi pointed out that the ASEAN foreign ministers also agreed to review the 5PCs, and in the future they will see its development. Then the results of the meeting of the retreat session will become suggestions that will be presented to ASEAN leaders at the 43rd summit next September. Next, we have the Australian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Penny Wong, who expressed support for the centrality of ASEAN in maintaining stability and realizing regional prosperity, particularly through the concrete implementation of the ASEAN Outlook on the Indo-Pacific. This was pointed out by Minister Penny Wong at the ASEAN Post-Ministerial Meeting Conference with Australia in Jakarta on Wednesday. According to Minister Penny, there are still many opportunities for cooperation that can be done by Australia and ASEAN. Therefore, Australia will soon issue a new economic policy which will increase cooperation between the Australian economy and ASEAN.
But we believe there is much more opportunity to be captured and to grow between us. To that end, we will soon release the Southeast Asia Economic Strategy to 2040, which will set out a practical pathway to strengthen Australia's economic engagement with Southeast Asia.
Meanwhile, the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, on the same occasion conveyed that Indonesia hopes Australia can become the main partner of ASEAN in maintaining peace and stability in the Indo-Pacific region. According to Minister Retno, Australia can become a positive force in the region by supporting ASEAN centrality. On that occasion, Minister Retno also mentioned two areas of cooperation that could be used as a focus, namely the issue of regional peace and stability. She also opined Australia and ASEAN could act as anchors of stability in the Indo-Pacific. Moreover, Minister Retno added that Australia is also expected to become development partners in the Pacific region. She has said the Pacific region is an inseparable part of the Indo-Pacific. Thereby, concrete cooperation between ASEAN and Pacific countries is needed, such as in the fields of climate action and disaster risk reduction, food security, and the blue economy. Now we move to the international news. Microsoft has said that China-based hackers have gained access to the email accounts of around 25 organizations, including government agencies. The software giant has not provided details of where the government agencies are based. As reported by BBC.com on Thursday, the U.S. Department of Commerce has confirmed to the BBC that Microsoft notified about the attack. Secretary of Commerce Gina Raimondo was among the individuals impacted by the breach, according to reports. Microsoft notified the Department of Compromise to Microsoft Office 365 system, and the department took immediate action to respond. Syrians in the country's last rebel enclave expressed alarm on Wednesday after the United Nations Security Council failed to renew an aid delivery mechanism to the area, imperiling critical humanitarian assistance. As reported by ArabNews.com on Wednesday, the UN largely delivers relief to northwest Syria via neighboring Turkey through the Bab al-Hawa crossing, but the deal to do so expired on Monday. We end the news with North Korea that fired what it said was a solid-fueled intercontinental ballistic missile on Wednesday, just days after Pyongyang threatened to shoot down U.S. military reconnaissance planes flying over nearby waters. As reported by CNN.com on Thursday, the launch followed several other recent tests of North Korea's intercontinental ballistic missiles, which have raised alarm among adversaries as the isolated authoritarian nation ramps up its efforts to develop weapons capable of potentially striking major U.S. cities. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur cooperates with Indonesian creative economy actors to Nusa Fest. The Indonesian Embassy Kabir in Kuala Lumpur is collaborating with a number of Indonesian creative economy actors to promote their products at Nusa Fest. The event was held in Bandar, Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur on 8-9 July 2023. The coordinator of the Economic Affairs Function at the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Hendra P. Iskandar, said that with a relatively short preparation of about 2 weeks, several micro, small and medium enterprises, MSMEs, from the provinces of Riau, Aceh, Bengkulu and West Sumatra displayed their products at Warung Nusa in the Nusa Fest event. They feature coffee, pisang goreng kipas, siomay Jakarta and nasi padang. Hendra said that even though Warung Nusa is not very big, it is enough to represent Indonesia. He also said that the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur would always support MSMEs and creative economy players who were truly interested. Hendra explained that the Nusa Fest activities were first conveyed to the Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, when he visited Malaysia. It is hoped that this way of promoting food, clothing and lifestyle can later spread to tourism. The Nusa Fest activity, which was also attended by coffee shops from Malaysia, SMEs, is an opportunity to promote and provide samples of Gayo coffee, which is Indonesia's mainstay products. In addition to displaying a variety of micro, small, medium enterprises, MSMEs products, Nusa Fest also presented a concert by a number of musicians from three countries, namely Indonesia with 11 music groups, Malaysia with 12 groups, and Singapore with one group, which lasted for 2 days.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
We begin today in history on July 13 with an event in 1930 when the first FIFA World Cup was held. On July 13, 1930, for the first time, the International Football Federation or FIFA organized a football tournament between countries around the world. The first FIFA World Cup tournament was held in Uruguay and included 18 countries. All matches in this first World Cup were played in the capital Uruguay, Montevideo. Most of the matches were held at the Estadio Centenario, which was purposely built to welcome the World Cup tournament. The match was won by the host country, Uruguay. We move to the next event in 1949 when the emergency government of the Republic of Indonesia has officially ended. The government of Republic of Indonesia was ruled by the Emergency Government of the Republic of Indonesia, or PDRI, from December 22, 1948 to July 13, 1949. Based in Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra, on December 22, 1948, the emergency government, which was also called the emergency cabinet, was led by Syafruddin Prawira Negara. Shortly before Sukarno and Hatta, the Indonesian leaders at that time were arrested by the Dutch on December 19, 1948. They held a meeting and gave a mandate to Syafruddin Prawira Negara to form a provisional government. On July 6, Sukarno and Hatta returned from exile to Yogyakarta, the temporary capital of the Republic of Indonesia. Syafruddin Prawira Negara handed over his mandate to Sukarno and automatically officially ended the emergency government of the Republic of Indonesia on July 13, 1949. We end today in history with an event on July 13, 2000 about the signing of the bilateral trade agreement between Vietnam and the United States. Vietnam has a long history of war with the United States. After the war, the two countries normalized their relations 2 years after the United States left Vietnam. On July 13, 2000, Vietnam and the United States signed a bilateral trade agreement. Through his trade agreement, Vietnam's exports to the United States increased sharply. The United States has become the largest market for Vietnam's exports in just 2 years after the trade agreement was implemented. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Jalani dunia tak kau terlalu indah dari sekedar kata. Dunia berhenti sejenak menikmati indahmu.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia has a topic, Head of BMKG states climate change can threat food security. Listeners, Head of the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BMKG, Dwi Korita Karnawati warned that climate change could threaten food security. In a statement on Tuesday, she said that the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, even predicts that by 2050, the world will face a potential famine due to climate change as a consequence of declining crop yields and crop failure. Therefore, she further said that climate change mitigation and adaptation actions need to be carried out by emphasizing economic, social aspects and ecosystem or landscape. Dwi Korita also explained that all countries in the world are currently experiencing the effects of climate change at different levels, such as extreme weather, natural disasters, decreased biodiversity, and water crisis. Therefore, it is necessary to take concrete action from all countries to reduce the rate of climate change. She also remarked that based on a report released by the World Meteorological Organization, WMO, it is stated that 2022 is ranked as the sixth hottest year in the world. The 2015 to 2022 period is the eighth hottest years on WMO records. Early December 2020 also ranks 2017 as the hottest year or ranked first, with 2020 being on the track toward one of the three hottest years ever recorded. Dwi Korita pointed out that global warming triggered a shift in seasonal patterns and air temperature, which resulted in an increase in the frequency, duration, and intensity of hydrometeorological disasters, one of which was the occurrence of forest and land fires, which were not only affected by extreme drought conditions, but also caused an increase in carbon and particulate emissions into the air. She further stated that the agency continues to carry out various mitigation and adaptation actions to climate change. In the agriculture sector, the agency also routinely holds climate field schools, or SLI, targeting agriculture extension workers and farmers of various superior commodities. This step is also taken to strengthen their weather and climate literacy. That's My Indonesia from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Sampai saat ini tak terfikir olehku, aku pernah beri rasa pada orang sepertimu. Seandainya sejak awal tak ku yakinkan diriku, tutur kata yang sempurna tak sebaik yang ku kira. Andai ku tahu semua akan sia-sia, takkan ku terima cinta sesaatmu. Bagaimana dengan aku terlanjur mencintaimu yang datang. Terfikirkan olehmu, hatiku hancur karenamu, tanpa sedikit alasan pergi tanpa berpamitan. Takkan ku terima cinta sesaatmu. Selamanya sejak awal tak ku yakin. Tutur kata yang sempurna tak sebaik yang ku kira. Andai ku tahu semua akan sia-sia, takkan ku terima cinta sesaatmu.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
VOI listener, Yogyakarta Palace has a unique tradition of welcoming the Islamic New Year or Hijri New Year, namely Mubeng Batang. This hereditary tradition is done by Tirakat Lampah Ratri or praying to God by walking along a certain path. There are a number of tracks in Mubeng Batang, but the most popular one is going around Yogyakarta Palace. Palace servants and residents, ritual participants, walk for about 5 kilometers around the Yogyakarta Palace Fortress. The servants line up at the front wearing Javanese clothes without kris and footwear. They walk carrying the Indonesian flag and the banner of the Yogyakarta Palace. Meanwhile, the residents participating in the Mubeng Batang were behind the royal servant. Before Before Mubeng Beteng begins, songs from Macapat are recited from Sri Manganti Palace, Yogyakarta Palace, which depict prayers. This ritual begins at midnight when Kiai Brajanala's bell in Keben's courtyard is rung 12 times. Furthermore, servants and residents, participants of the carnival, walk for about 5 kilometers around Yogyakarta Palace Fort. The Mubeng Beteng route is counterclockwise. Mubeng Beteng tradition is known as Tapa Bisu ritual, because when walking around the palace, the carnival participants are prohibited from talking to each other. They are also prohibited from eating and drinking during the ritual. Tapa Bisu, a symbol of concern and introspection for the people of Yogyakarta in welcoming the new year. Historically, Mubeng Beteng is a Javanese Islamic tradition that began when Mataram Kingdom built a fort around the place. The fort was completed on one Suro according to the Javanese calendar. Then the soldiers routinely surround the fort to guard against enemy threats. After building a ditch around the palace, the task of going around the palace fortress was replaced by courtiers. The servants walk around while reading silent prayers so that they would be given safety. Initially, Mubeng Beteng was carried out by servants. Over time, people can also participate in this ritual. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder that introduced you to Mubeng Beteng tradition, a tradition to welcome Islamic New Year from Yogyakarta, Java Island, Indonesia.
Setulus ini, mengapa sulit?
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listener, sustainable, renewable, and environmentally friendly energy is now being massively developed. Based on this, professor from the Department of Physics, Faculty of Science and Data Analytics, or FSAD, of the 10 November Institute of Technology, or ITS, Professor Darminto and his research group succeeded in fabricating solar cell semiconductor components by utilizing biomass. Darminto explained, amorphous carbon is a semiconductor material in solar cells that functions as a component to convert solar energy into electric current. In general, this material is composed of graphite, which is a mining product, so its availability is limited. Thus, it is necessary to have graphene-based amorphous carbon by utilizing renewable resources. One such alternative is to utilize biomass or plant organic matter. Darminto explained, this innovation utilizes sap from palm trees, which is converted into carbon powder. Then, the carbon powder is dissolved and formed into a thin layer. The thin layer is called graphene-based amorphous carbon. Graphene-based amorphous carbon has several advantages, such as environmentally friendly raw materials, more affordable raw material, and simpler processing. In its implementation, graphene-based amorphous carbon is also applied in various technological aspects, such as supercapacitors, battery electrode materials, various sensor components, and anti-radar coatings. The device is currently in a further development stage. Professor Darminto revealed that the efficiency value at photovoltaic cells or solar cells is still at 0.1%. This figure is still far adrift with silicon-type amorphous materials. Using silicon material, the efficiency value has reached above 10%. Darminto is optimistic that the efficiency value of graphene-based amorphous carbon can be increased to that of solar cells on the market. He also hopes that his findings can be mass-produced and implemented in various technological applications. That's Michelani.
Harus ku mengingatmu lagi, aku takkan sanggup dengan yang terjadi pada kita. Jika melupakanmu hal yang mudah, ini takkan berat, tak akan membuat hatiku lelah. Kalah, aku kalah. Cinta ini pahit dan tak harus memiliki. Jika aku bisa, ku akan kembali. Ku akan merubah takdir cinta yang ku pilih. Meskipun tak mungkin, walaupun ku mau bawa kamu lewat mesin waktu. Jika melupakanmu hal yang mudah, ini takkan berat. Takkan membuat hatiku lelah. Panjang perjalanan yang harus ku lalui. Merelakanmu. Jika aku bisa, ku akan kembali. Ku akan merubah takdir cinta yang ku pilih. Meskipun tak mungkin, walaupun ku mau membawa kamu lewat mesin waktu. Akan merubah takdir cinta yang ku pilih. Meskipun tak mungkin, walaupun ku mau membawa kamu. Oh, jika aku bisa, ku akan kembali. Ku akan merubah cinta yang ku pilih. Meskipun tak mungkin, walaupun ku mau membawa kamu lewat mesin waktu.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's nostalgic edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a song entitled Ekspresi. The song Ekspresi was composed by Indra and Mira Lesmana. The song is in the album entitled Ekspresi, which was released in 1988 and sung by Titi DJ and Indra Lesmana. This song was covered in 2001 through Titi DJ's compilation album entitled Menyanyikan Kembali that contained hit songs of Titi DJ's albums. In the album, Titi DJ collaborated with other female singers Ruth Sahanaya, Rita Effendi, Memes, Melly Guslau, and Reza. Many singers were involved in this compilation album, as well as different musical arrangements, making the song Ekspresi sound fresher and more cheerful. The song Ekspresi, which in English means expressions, tells about someone who wants to express and pour out what he feels in life into art, be it poetry, song, music, or even dance. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Ekspresi, the version of Titi DJ, Ruth Sahanaya, Rita Effendi, Memes, Melly Guslow, and Reza. Enjoy!
Indonesia.
Mengapa selalu, selalu, selalu nama
sakit hatiku. Semakin ku menyangkal itu, semakin menghujam semua tentangmu. Mengapa rindu?
Our listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.